Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Monday morning, Jesus 911. My name is Jesse Romero, one-man car. There's a lot to talk about today. The last week, for the last couple of days, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I was actually on the Trump campaign bus, tour bus. It was going from one city to another over here in Arizona. And I was asked by the Trump campaign people in Washington if I would be part of the team to go from city to city to try to shore up the vote here in Arizona, and it looks like it's working. It looks like Arizona's tracking for President Trump. And I was there with my Senator Martha McSally, on the bus for 3 days. Congressman Andy Biggs, who's one of the best senators in Congress. He's amazing. I was also there with Dr. Kelly Ward. She's the RNC chair here for Arizona. I was there also with Tommy Hicks. He's the RNC chair for Washington, D.C. So I was with some heavy hitters in the RNC. I was wearing my St. Benedict's medal around my neck the whole time, preaching, telling people how to vote with my St. Benedict's medal around my neck, my miraculous medal around my neck. Mostly everybody on the Trump bus, were either evangelicals or Mormons. And so I had some great conversations. They were just asking me a lot of questions about the Catholic faith. And it was a good time just to evangelize people of goodwill that, are on the same political team, though not part of the same religion. So that's where I was at the last couple of days. And I want to thank all of you for continuing to support Virgin Most Powerful. Let me say a prayer before we start with this topic. This topic is it's sacrilegious. And so I want to call upon the intercession of St. Michael in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons, pray for us. All you holy angels and saints of God, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very painful to talk about, but we need to talk about it because as Catholics, we can't live in a bubble and act like if these things aren't happening. The church has been infiltrated by some bad people. There are Satanists in the church, without a doubt. There are people involved in witchcraft in the church, without a doubt. And last week, it's all over the mainstream media. Something that is very, very, it's sad for us as Catholics to see the sacrilege that was committed in a Catholic church. But let me preface something. We've been warned by Our Lady of Akita in Japan that we would have bad people infiltrate the clergy, specifically the clergy. Our Lady of Akita, Japan, warned us that those priests that are consecrated to the Blessed Mother, those priests that are consecrated to Our Lady, they would be persecuted within the church. And that's a fact. Good holy priests that are consecrated to Our Lady, they have a hard time in the church right now. Because there's a lot of bad people and a lot of infiltrators and a lot of imposters and a lot of bad people that have come in. So let me get right to it. This painful news. Did you hear about, it was a young priest over in New Orleans, a Louisiana priest, who's been caught defiling the holy space of his church in the sanctuary, engaging in sexual perversion with two women on the sacred altar. In fact, this priest, he actually hired these porn actresses to have to commit sacrilege in the altar of the Catholic Church, to have sex inside the church. The Archdiocese of New Orleans has announced October 1st that Father Travis Clark, former pastor of St. Peter and Paul Church in Peel River, had been arrested and charged with obscenity. And by the way, I'm just surprised here. I see, I'm glad to see that. I see Dan Schneider here. And Dan, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm 10A, ready, 10A for Jesus.
Man, Dan, my heart is broken because what happened over the weekend has been prophesied by Our Lady of Akita, Japan, Our Lady of Good Success. This former priest, I guess he's Father Clark, he was arrested September 30th after a parishioner concerned that the lights of the church they were late on in the evening, they looked through a window and they beheld a sacrilegious spectacle. They were shocked to find the priest that was half naked with his priestly garb still on, and two women that were hired to perform sex acts with him. They're called dominatrixes. They're involved in sadism and masochism. Dan, in my by the way, they were also both porn film actresses. Okay, so that was their daytime job, and the priest apparently hired them, and he recorded them. He had stage lighting, and he was recording this trio on a mobile phone mounted on a tripod. Dan, in my opinion, this is completely the work of Satan. Well, Our Lady of Akita, Japan warned us about in 1973, and Our Lady of Good Success warned us about the infiltration of Satan within the priesthood back in the 17th century. It's good that the bishop says he's burned the altar. He's going to put a new altar there and reconsecrate it. Dan, is this just a priest that's kind of like, had poor formation in seminary, or through your training and experience, would you say that this is a liturgical act to the devil?
Well, everything that a priest does, every act that a priest does has some liturgical element. His entire ontological being has been ordained towards the sacrifice. So the fact that this mockery of Christ is done on a sacred altar is an absolute mockery and desecration of what is sacred. So every act that a priest does is done as priests, just as you and I can't separate our any actions that we do are done as father, as husband. So but the difference is ontologically his very being is ordained to commit to practice the sacrifice of the Holy Mass and confect the Holy Eucharist and to sanctify the body of Christ. And so whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether this was done, obviously the rituality of it was present. He is half dressed, and what he was wearing was priestly garbs. One of the prostitutes posted on Facebook that she's on her way to deface a house of God, which is exactly what it was. What their level of intentionality and their knowledge of what they were doing, I would say they pretty much knew what they were doing. If you're recording this, either that he was just a very, very sick man, morally and spiritually and psychologically, and that he was just being used. But either way, the scandal to the body of Christ is pretty grave. And I think that's one of the reasons I think we should talk about it, because we should not be surprised. As you say, the Virgin Mary has been in approved apparitions and over the last century has been talking about the need for prayer for the church and to pray for priests. Rosa Mystica, which is kind of an in-between state of approval, an apparition of Our Lady in the 1940s in northern Italy. She says to the visionary that there must be prayers and reparation done for priests, particularly those who do not live their vows of priesthood. And this holy woman, 50 years ago, could not imagine that a priest of the living God would not live his vows. And she asked the Blessed Mother, how can this be? How could a priest not live his vows? Well, this is her prophecies are for future problems. Even the rosary given to Saint Dominic was given for future heresies and future problems in the church. And I think we're living in that time now. We're living in the age of Mary, and we have to turn to her. to help and to look for guidance for how we work through as the body of Christ. As you and I have talked about, we're in a fight or flight moment as Catholics. Either you're going to run and say, forget it, this is all crazy, tontería, as you say in Spanish, right? Mm-hmm. This is craziness, or I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to fight for the truth, and I'm not going to let the devil take my family, take our church, take my, you know, parish. I'm going to fight for what is right, true, good, beauty, and all that is good and holy.
Dan, let me quote to you what Our Lady said to Sister Sasagawa. She says, quote, "The work in 1973, the work of the devil will infiltrate even into the church in such a way that one will see the cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their fellow priest. Churches and altars sacked. The church will be full of those who accept compromises. And the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord. The demon will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God." Close quote. Dan, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing exactly.
Yeah, we're seeing. We're seeing. Yeah. She also said that those priests who revere me, that have Marian devotion, will be ridiculed by their brother priests. And we see that we all have priest friends, and we know what they went through. Some of them had terrible experiences in seminary, and so some of this is just part of the malformation. This is the bad fruit of some bad formation over the last 20, 30 years.
Dan, can you stay on another segment?
You betcha.
Okay. Jesus 911, two-man car. We're talking about Akita, Japan, Our Lady of Good Success, Rosa Mística. We'll be back.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car. My name is Jess. I'm here with Dan Schneider. Just called in. I'm glad he did. Wasn't expecting Dan, but Dan's always welcome. You know, when I'm reading here, Dan, from Our Lady of Good Success, she says what she's saying right here is exactly what I'm seeing happening in the church. Our Lady of Good Success says the following. This is back in the 17th century. She says, "The sacrament of holy orders will be ridiculed, oppressed, and despised. The demon will try to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every possible way, and he will labor with cruel and subtle astuteness to deviate them from the spirit of their vocation, corrupting many of them. These corrupted priests will scandalize the Christian people, will incite the hatred of the bad Christians and the enemies of the Roman Catholic Church to fall upon priests." Close quote. Again, Akita Japan, Rosa Mystica, Our Lady of Good Success. It's very clear what we saw what this priest did, by the way, in case you're wondering. If you just we're talking about this priest over the weekend, a Louisiana priest who was caught defiling the holy space. He hired two porn actresses. They're called dominatrixes. They're into sadism and masochism. No need to talk about what that is. Let's just say that they're into some disorder type of sinful sexual practices. They were hired by this priest, these two prostitutes. They filmed it. They had lighting there. It was the act was performed on the altar, on the priest. And I'm reading here from an article. It's by Church Militant. It says, when asked for comment on the scandal, a former seminary professor told Church Militant on condition of anonymity, that demonic activity inside and outside the church is more prevalent than people realize. This seminarian, the former professor of a seminary, said this, repeating the words of a fellow priest, he says, he claims that 25% of all people are, to one degree or another, actively infested with evil spirits, allowing the diabolical to rule their minds and hearts. That's interesting, Dan, that this former seminary professor that wishes to remain anonymous told this to Church Militant. One out of four people diabolically allows demons to rule their minds and hearts. That's exactly what Father Chad Ripperger says. There's a YouTube video where he talks about diabolical obsession. Let me quote Father Chad Ripperger. He says, quote, about 25% of people are diabolically obsessed in the USA. So we have a seminary professor and an exorcist saying pretty much the same thing. So, Dan, I mean, this priest, this young priest that went off the rails into deep, wretched, mortal sin, without a doubt, Dan, there was some diabolical affliction. Right? Go ahead. Talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're living in a very dark age, and we have to tighten our perimeters. We have to tighten up our spiritual life, our interiority, and we have to listen to what the church teaches and listen. And I think, again, not just because I'm a Mariologist, but I think we should listen to the message of the Mother of God. God sends her for a reason to the people of God to give us hope, to give us direction. What's interesting is that the message that she gives, it's very consistent. Even the mystical rose that was in the Monte Chiara, 1947, Northern Italy. She says she appeared to this visionary with three swords in her heart, not the seven swords of sorrow, but three swords. And she says these three swords are prayer, penance, and expiation. So we see this stuff as in the body, as the lay faithful, and we see this abuse, and we've lived through this a time and time again. What are we to do? And I'm telling you, we do not go and do GoFundMe and signature blocks and get signatures to in some democratic way to make our bishop do this or that. Our Lady has given us the answer, and that is this: prayer, penance, and expiation. This is very consistent with Fatima and with Akita, and then it goes in and out of approval and disapproval, and there's a lot of theological opinions on this, but Garabandal, if you see some of the other smaller apparitions, in light of the approved apparitions, Fatima and Akita, the same message is coming forth from the Mother of Jesus, and that is prayer, penance, and expiation. She was asked, what is prayer and what do you mean by penance? she says that prayer, Our Lady was silent for some moments and then continued. So prayer, she's showing us, here's how you pray. Just as that Fatima, she was praying the rosary, right? Showing her children didactically, this is your response. You must pray the rosary. And then penance, she says, acceptance of little daily crosses and also doing one's work in the spirit of penance. We don't have to do great things. You're not going to move God through a worldly petition. You move grace through these three things that she has revealed: prayer, penance, and expiation. What is expiation but penance that applies the merit of our penance towards the sins of another? Again, the mystical rose apparitions, she's talking about the sins of polluted, betrayed, what she called betrayed vocations, and a decrease in sanctity among the religious and the priest. And so our response isn't to curse them. It isn't to wring our hands and say, what shall we do? We are to go to work, and it's an interior life that we must foster as lay people to pray for our church. And she appeared also with three roses. And it's interesting that in the Carmelite tradition, if you've been to a Carmelite monastery, they always plant roses, and a white, a red, and a yellow, one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in this particular apparition, the three roses, Our Lady explains, she says, the white is prayer, the red is expiation and sacrifice, and the yellow is penance. And so she's given us visual images of our response. We see this wicked evil infiltrating the church, and what's surprising is not that it's happening, but how boldly it's happened, and how boldly and that it's taking place, and taking how bold the evil one has become in its infiltration, just rubbing it in the face. And I think the bishop has done the correct response. Once this altar has been desacralized as it has, it should be destroyed, because that sacred space must be reconsecrated. We see this again when churches are. You know, we've had some locally here. Some churches are defiled by Satanists, and so there's a ritual the church goes through to purify any evil that might be sent there, or placed there through a satanic ritual. And in this case, this satanic ritual would have left a permanent place for the diabolic if nothing was done at the spiritual level by the authority, the local bishop.
Dan, this guy was a relatively young priest, this former priest, Father Clark, 37 years old. He was ordained in 2013. He was a pastor, and he was also a chaplain of a local high school, John Paul II High School, and he was taking over for another pastor who was removed before him, who was also caught having sexually abusing a minor in the parish, Father Pat Wattigny. So this young priest was the replacement for somebody else who had been removed. And I go back to Akita, Japan, and Our Lady of Good Success. The devil doesn't really change his strategy, Dan. He goes after men, and especially men of power, political, religious men of power. He always takes them down through sexual sin. And that's why, you know, you're always talking about the fact that we as men have to live a clean life, an ordered life, a life of constancy in prayer, constancy in good works, because all that is going to offset the strategy of the devil. The devil hasn't changed his strategy. As Father Gabriel Amorth says in the cover of one of his books, he says, the demon tries to get humans to sin against their body. He tries to get us to offend God by sinning with our bodies. And this is what we see here, Dan.
Yeah. What I see also, I've been just doing a little Lexio lately on Lexio Divina, is just a prayerful reading of Scripture, meditation upon the words of Scripture. And I was reading, if you read Colossians chapter 3, you have died and your life is hidden in Christ, hidden in God through Christ. So the key to victory in the spiritual warfare, Paul lays it out in Colossians chapter 3. You must die to yourself. And then he lays out the things that you must die to so that you can grow in Christ and be revealed in Christ as truly human. Remember, to be virtuous, the word virtus is a Latin where we get the word virtue. It means manly courage. In the times of the Roman Empire, It meant manly courage in battle. And this is why virtue is essential for spiritual warfare, for victory. You must grow in virtue. So Paul lays out in chapter 3 of Colossians, he lays out beginning its sexual sins, all the sexual disorders. And that's the first punch. That's the jab that the enemy, you know, when you're a boxer, you and I were fighters, you got to work that jab. How many times you're in your ring and you're in the ring and your coach yells at you, work the jab. You got to throw the jab. Everything else works off the jab. So the jab the enemy hits us with is going to be constantly things of the flesh. But then in the second paragraph of this chapter, Paul goes into the deeper stuff of, you know, arrogance, you know, all the things that militate in the interior life. So we have this 1-2 punch combination. If you can get us through the flesh, that's the easiest. But once you come to a certain self-mastery of the flesh, part of the Christian life, what emerges oftentimes are other disorders in the soul, pride, self-love, lack of charity. You know, Teresa of Avila, for example, in her The Way of Perfection, she's describing the levels of prayer. And she finally gets to pass the ascetical prayer, and she's going to start teaching on contemplative, infused, mystical prayer. And she spends several pages talking not about this is the body posture you should get into when God gives you levitation or the stigmata or the transverberation. She, you know what I mean? She doesn't do that. She talks 5 or 6 long, lengthy pages on love of neighbor. What prevents us from growing in union with God is love of neighbor. And so, but if you don't overcome the fleshly temptations, this isn't a rejection of the flesh. You know, as Teresa herself said, there's a time for penance and a time for partridge, right? Meaning a time, partridge at the time was a meal of the aristocrat. It was a fancy dining experience. So there's a time for penance, and now is that time. This is, and penance isn't, doesn't have to be anything too great. It's growing in love of neighbor. It's mortifying. It's what Our Lady says, mortifying and living the little pain in the neck things that happen in our lives, offering, making everything, as St. Paul says, a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1-3. Make your life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so he starts, the evil one will hit us with the flesh. And then the big hand that gets us is going to be the interior things. We might be able to mortify our tongue, but it's going to be the interior stuff that's eventually going to come out. And so that's what we got to watch, that 1-2 punch combination that we get hit with. And this, in this case, if we can scandalize you through the flesh like this priest, then he can scandalize the whole body of Christ.
Jesus 911 two-man car. Dan, can you stick around or you got to go to work?
I'm good to go.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Anybody have a comment or question, go ahead and call in at 888-526-2151, 888-526-2151. Dan, what happened over in Louisiana, I remember years ago, and I would just try to push this out of my mind. Father Malachi Martin, you probably remember who he was. He was back in the 60s. He wrote a book called Windswept House. It was published by Doubleday, I think, back in 1996. And he actually said in his book, he talked about that there were consecration and enthronements of Satan, inside some Catholic church. He spoke about Masonic and homosexual infiltration in the Vatican. He spoke in that book about a Luciferian agenda with some people in the church in high places. I mean, this is 25 years before, Pope Francis and the resignation of Pope Benedict. And now when I see this priest in Louisiana, by the way, he's not the only one. You can read another well-written investigative report by Church Militant. It's called Cardinal Bernardine, Homosexual Predator Satanist. Very well documented. In fact, let me read one sentence. It says, in June of 1993, a letter to the U.S. Apostolic Nuncio at the time, Archbishop Agostino Casiavian, the victim expressed the following quote, I was raped by then Father Bernardine as part of a satanic ritual. He accompanied Bishop Russell, who was the celebrant, quote. You can read the whole article. It's called Cardinal Bernardine, Homosexual Predator Satanist. It's a chilling article. It reads like a police report. It's a factual article that gives all the players, and the fact is, I mean, even Cardinal Bernardine, he explicitly requested when he died to have the Chicago, it was a Protestant gay men's chorus to sing at his wake. Malachi Martin told us about this, Dan. Let's talk about the solution to the problem. I say this, tell me if I'm onto something. Somebody who's praying the rosary every single day and meditating upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Louis de Montfort says, you cannot pray the rosary every day and meditate upon the life of Christ and continue in sin. You will either give up this mortal sin or the rosary, but you cannot do both in the same day. What say you, Dan?
Yeah, Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, says the same thing, that if a soul cannot persist in meditative prayer, you cannot pray meditation for 30 days and continue in sin. So she would encourage people to just pray. Again, going back to Our Lady's message, many of her messages, prayer, fasting, penance, expiation, Eucharistic expiation. You know, the angelic, the first apparition, the angelic apparition at Fatima, where the angel teaches the children prayers of reparation. I believe, I trust, I adore, and I hope in you, and I pray in reparation for those who do not believe, trust, hope, and adore in you. This was, 10, 15 years before the approved revelation, private revelation, but also the approved visions of St. Faustina, offering up hours of reparation and prayer to the offenses against the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, sometimes when we'll find cursed objects, altars to Santeria, other stuff that are in people's homes that priests go when they go to bless or whatever, we got to destroy these objects. And when you really look, for example, at when you see these objects, these creaturely objects laying in a pile that people would venerate and worship, you realize what blasphemy this is against the sovereignty of God, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which burns for souls and burns for sinners, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which desires us to be saved, to be in union with her Son. You realize what this is. And so offering up, whenever I would have to destroy these objects, I would just offer up prayers of reparation in addition to other prayers of protection, because I realized, I see firsthand how evil this stuff is. And so our response should be praying prayers of reparation and doing acts of reparation, offering little penances up, you know, praying for the church, praying for the, you know, many of the lay people have been praying now for the purification of the church. And I hate to say it, but this is what purification looks like. We have to, it's not pretty any more than purifying a wound it's not an attractive process. You see, you know how hard it is, what big babies we are if we get a splinter, right? Everybody in my house starts making fun of me because I'm the big tough guy and I cry like a little girl when I have to get somebody to take a splinter out of my hand, let alone some legitimate deep wound care. For the nurses that are out there that work in wound care, it's a painful, ugly process to get that. And so how do we assist this healing of the body, these violations against the body of Christ, the mystical body? It's going to be through prayer, reparation. We need to restore this terminology to Catholic spirituality. Eucharistic, right? Reparation, Eucharistic adoration and prayer, rosary. These are the things that it's going to take.
Dan, we got a phone call on line one. We got Paul Clay. I used to work with him, retired lieutenant from the LA Sheriff's Department, also served in the Navy before he became a deputy sheriff. Paul, retired lieutenant Paul Clay, welcome to the Jesus 911. What's going on, my friend? Comments or questions?
Yes. Thank you for having me. And good morning, Dan. You know, as I'm listening to this, and I'm just remembering certain things in the Bible when Jesus cleansed the temple. And people really need to understand that, you know, number one, as the New Testament teaches, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So when I think about that priest, he had already given over his temple to defilement. Mm. So to take one more step, you know, and to bring, you know, that type of vile activity inside the church where the tabernacle is, you know, was probably, you know, just one more step for him. And, you know, people really need to realize that, you know, we have the ability to do spiritual warfare and to combat these things. And that is just like you guys are talking about. You know, keeping the temple clean, living a holy life, living in a state of grace. And when you do that, we have to remember what the New Testament says, you shall receive power, you know, in the Holy Ghost. You know, that power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, you know, is working in us and through us. And you know, it's not a chess match between Satan and God. When we see demonic activity, especially on this level, it's because we have given permission. We have opened up doors and allowed these demons and given them permission to do what they do. And
so
I think
it's
important. Yeah, it's important for us to realize the correlation between demonic activity and a lack of holiness. And as you guys know, we live in a culture of death right now, and there is an extreme lack of holiness due to poor formation, due to so many things. And so it's just another sign that we who choose to live a holy life, we need to understand that, you know, just like you said earlier, we need to fight. It's not time to give up now. It's time to dig in and wage war, spiritual
warfare. Redouble
our
efforts.
Amen.
Paul, can you share? Yesterday in a phone call, we were talking, you shared something with me which touched my heart. It was so powerful. I said, can you actually type that out to me and send it to me? Can you share with the audience what you told me last night?
You know, Jess, I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
We talked about a lot of things.
It was powerful. I'm sure it'll come up and I'll text you and stuff, but... which brings us to our next article. There's an article I have here. It says, are you demonizing holiness? It says, a priest exposes society's satanic drive and how to fix it. This short little article is saying that right now the devil is using the culture to call everything that's good bad and what's calling things that are bad good. So there's a satanic confusion, a diabolical disorientation, this priest says in this article, that the devil's going after everything that's holy and calling it unholy. And he's going after everything that's unholy and calling it good. Comments?
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah. Again, this type of confusion is not just in the world. It's actually, you know, because of poor formation has affected those in the church. And again, the emphasis is clearly on the fact that we have to recognize that, you know, sometimes we pray, we think that, oh, God's going to do everything for us. He's going to do the heavy lifting for us. But that's not the way God works. God will work in you and through you, you know, to the extent that you cooperate with the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And that's something that we all have to remember. You know, if we, as we give ourselves over to holiness, meditative prayer, like Dan was talking about, as we do those things, that's how we beat the devil, and that's how we beat the devil back. It's just unfortunate that you know, the world right now is, I believe, you know, we're entering into a new era, and it's going to be one where those who are living a holy life are going to become more and more persecuted, because those who don't live a holy life, they're outnumbering us by the masses, including inside the church.
Paul, thanks a lot for the comments. Very, very Absolutely. Thoughtful comments. Thank you. You added a lot to the conversation. Dan, comments on what Paul said?
Yeah, thanks, brother. He's spot on, particularly in cleansing the temple. If you look at John's gospel, for example, in John chapter 2, Jesus is presented as the bride, as the bridegroom, who is responsible for providing wine at the wedding feast of Cana. And the Virgin Mary is given first billing in a wedding that describes everybody but the bride. She is herself being presented symbolically as bride, Christ the bridegroom. And then right after that, he immediately goes to Jerusalem and cleanses the temple, saying, I am the bridegroom, the beloved of souls. The church is my bride, of which my mother is the symbol, Mary, mother of the church. And so to desecrate the temple, there needs to be purification. So he purifies the temple, you know, and so symbolically establishing now the church, all who believe, Jews and Gentiles that would believe in Christ, that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the beloved bridegroom of God who would wed his people. And we see this mockery of that, what happened in Louisiana.
We'll continue talking about the way the culture of death makes people really unholy. Here with Dr. Dan Schneider, myself, Jess Romero, two-man car. Stick around, don't turn that dial. Good stuff. Red.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are just two watchmen on the wall, as Ezekiel chapter 3 talks about watchmen, those that basically they stood in the gap. They were on behalf of God. They're trying to watch for the enemies that were attacking Israel. We are the new Israel of God. Dan, myself, we're simply watchmen. We're standing on the wall. We're trying to tell people that the enemy's coming. We've got a phone call. We've got somebody on line one, Phaedra Brock. You're on with Dr. Dan and Jesse Romero. Go ahead, my friend. You're on.
Hey, Jesse. It's Eddie. How you doing? Eddie Brock.
Hey, what's up, bro?
San Diego. Not too much. Hey, I was listening to what Dr. Dan was saying, and I listened to Paul Clay. And great intel, great insight. But every time I wanted to add, I love what Paul was saying. I wanted to add to similar what his message was. Every time I read scripture, especially when I hear St. Paul speaks in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 7 somewhere, when he says, I do the things that I should not do, and he has to constantly fight against, you know, the temptations and the irritations that he gets. I know scripture's for everyone, but I always think about that message being directed to men. And if we had men that really would reflect and do a little Lectio Divino or what they read and what they hear and maybe discuss it in like-minded circles, we are going to overcome this temptation, this age-old temptation of the flesh. Men like women, and alpha men like lots of women. And, you know, regardless of who you are or where you fall on the scale, you are naturally drawn to the opposite, but we're supposed to have it in a manner that's pleasing to God, like in our marriages or nothing. And when we don't fight to overcome that, it doesn't matter if your title is priest or if your title is husband or if your title is laborman or single guy. You're going to fall, because at the end, we're ultimately oriented to go back to God, but we can't come back to him with any sin. And since coming to the chapel, when I met you several years ago, I met Paul and those guys, and the apostolate seems to be growing and growing and growing. This past spring, I met a group of men that pray out of the chapel, and being in like-minded company has helped me on a very personal level as much as I've helped them, according to what they say. And if you don't have yourself surrounded by those groups of people, i.e. priests who don't continue to pray, priests who don't have dedication to the Blessed Mother, priests who don't continue to educate themselves, you're going to fall into the same pit that the secular men are wallowing in. And some of us pound our chests in serious pride versus seeing your sin, reflect on it, go to confession, dive into the sacraments, and then surround yourself as part of your penance with like-minded people who are going to keep you out of those areas. And I see priests falling in that same particular area as this past guy did, like I used to, and every other person who admits that they have to struggle with sin.
Hey, Dan, you're going to love this guy. Well, first of all, Paul Clay is a black Catholic, the guy I just called before, served in the Navy, lieutenant in the Sheriff's Department, just retired. Phaedra Brock served our country in the Marines, I think in Desert Storm, and he's
no,
a...
Jesse, you see the phone is registered in my wife's name, but...
Okay.
It's my wife's name.
I thought you were using a code name, brother. Eddie's a black Catholic,
fired up for the faith.
He's works for a large law enforcement agency. He's a lieutenant out there in California, the southern part of California. Two unfired black Catholics just called the show, Dan, back-to-back. You got to love these guys. Dan, comments? Oh, I can't hear Dan. Where's Dan's voice? Dan. Okay, he'll come on right now. Eddie, the fact is, we're all called to be watchmen, and you're a watchman out there where you're at. Paul Clay's a watchman. You know, we're called to stand in the gap on behalf of God. We're called to pray and do penance and evangelize and try to repair the wall and stand in the gap
yeah.
on behalf of God and those yep. that would try to destroy the church. Ed, Dan, you're on. Go.
All right. Yeah, I think what Eddie's talking about, the defect that we see in many men today, is effeminacy. It's an inability to be manly, an inability to mortify the flesh, to overcome the carnal things. Or another temptation we see at the very beginning that's embedded into fallen manhood is the inability to engage when we need to engage. Adam was present when Eve was tempted, but Scripture says he was silent. And that silence of Adam is in each one of us as men. We have to speak out against the darkness that we see and a holiness and truth. But we got to militate. We got to stand up as men and overlap our shields, man. You know, you and I have talked about the Roman formations, the testudo formation. This is where we're at. We're almost in the orbis. This is when they go into a circle and fight to the death. The testudo, the women would overlap their shields and walk very, very slowly and carefully in formation. And this is what Catholic Men at Prayer is. We've got to get back to that language of militancy, which is the language of the church militant, to start praying for the church, praying for purification, purifying our own souls, as Eddie alluded to. We have to purify the temple of the body. We have to cleanse it so that, and we have to speak the truth boldly in love. As St. Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only through union with Christ and dying to Christ and let Christ come alive in us are we ever going to overcome these things. And if you ignore that, you're either moving towards God or away from God. We are moving in one direction or the other. And so we see with this fallen priest, someone that moved incrementally away from God. It isn't one huge, he didn't wake up that morning and go, I'm going to do a sacrilege on the altar. It starts by small little violations of your vocation. One little decision at a time. We don't just jump off the path of righteousness. We slowly, methodically make little decisions against truth, beauty, holiness. You know, we don't have the ability to mortify those little temptations, and little by little we get led astray. And so, you know, again, the phrase that we use is evil militates to absurdity, and we see this. What happened is absurd. A normal, rational person looks at that and goes, "Yeah, this is absurd." But it didn't. It militated with this man, one little incremental failure at a time, getting him off of target one little at a time until he's completely blinded to it. And this is what the demon's doing to all of us. It isn't, he's not unique. The demon would like to get all of us to commit similar sacrifices if possible. So that's why we got to be militant. We got to be strong. And I love it when ex-military guys are engaged, because we get it, man. We get it, because we've been to physical combat, and now it's easy to apply those principles in spiritual combat.
Eddie, how do you like me having Dan on every week with me? Good stuff, hi, Eddie.
Man, this is outstanding. The only thing I would take is too bad Dan was in Army. I'm Marine Corps. Dan likes Ohio State. I'm Penn State. But I tell you,
hang up. This is a crank call. Penn State, Marine, forget it. Forget it. They'll let anybody in. That.
Jesse, I want to throw one quick thing in there. What Dan was talking about the guys not standing the fight and not militating against the temptations, if it weren't for this past spring when we got shot down with COVID, I would not have met the men's group that I'm a part of that works out of the chapel up there in San Dimas. So shout out to St. Michael Shield Prayer Group. We ramped up the prayers ever since COVID hit, because they couldn't do their weekly thing, so they went to a daily thing. And the brotherhood, from what I came into, was already rocking and rolling. And there's one member in particular who was an operator, Navy, into the Army. He's very, very devout, and then it spread. Each of the men in the group bring different strengths and different talents. We all feed off of one another, and we've been praying daily. I know this group's been in existence almost 10 years. I'm the newest member, but the language and the education that goes on in the group is exactly what Dan is talking about. Three of us this summer participated in the Libro Cristo conference, and we used different methodologies to strengthen ourselves and remind ourselves to stay on the path of, we're all different states of life, but we come together in prayer every day, 7 days a week, twice a day. So thanks for the apostolate you guys have. Thanks for having Dan. It's incredible, because we're here and we use what you guys say as material for discussion in our evening talks each day when we talk.
Awesome. I'm going to have Ernie on. I know all the guys from that group. You guys are definitely the watchmen in the Catholic Church. Thanks a lot, brother. God bless you. And I'm going to get a hold of Ernie and have him on next week so we can talk more about the St. Michael's prayer group in Southern California that's spreading like wildfire. Thanks, bro. Yes, God bless you. Dan, closing thoughts.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, my wife, the Carmelite, you know, mystical, contemplative, sweet, good, you know, everything that I'm not. I was breaking out a litany of saints used in times of plague. And she looked at me. She said, "Of course you have a litany for times of plague." And I said, "Yeah, we're going to pray it as a family, protect this family." And she said something that struck me. She said, "You know, you practice a smash mouth Catholicism." And Eddie would appreciate that, being from the Big Ten. As much as I dislike Penn State, they play smash mouth football just like the Buckeyes. And you have to, so this men's spirituality is smash mouth. There's nothing fancy about it. This is just grind it out. Helmet on helmet, your guy on my guy, and we're going to drive it down 3 yards in a cloud of dust. This is what it takes, a daily discipline of prayer, the basic things that God has given us and revealed in the church, devotion to the Blessed Mother, devotion to the angels and saints and St. Michael, Eucharistic prayer, adoration, fellowship with men, praying together, talking about our struggles that we're going through, helping each other through combat. Like at Ranger School, we were given a Ranger buddy, and you help each other out. In Marine Corps, they do the same thing at their boot camp. You got to help each other out. We got to get out there and stay in the fight. And so, and for me, nothing fancy. We don't need anything fancy. Smash mouth Catholicism, just grind it out. Prayers, litanies, vocal prayer, rosary, Eucharistic adoration, devotion to our Blessed Mother. This is the formula, I think, that it works. It works, which is why I think so many men have not found it, and it's time for men to wake up and start practicing this type of spirituality.
Become part of a men's group somewhere, man. We all have to get in this testudo formation right now and put shields on shields and use what you said, smash-mouth Catholicism. Take the enemy one fed at a time. Move together. Cover each other with our shields. Smash mouth Catholicism. Pray. Grind it out. Just like a fullback trying to run through the line. As Catholics, I mean, it doesn't look pretty sometimes the way men's spirituality plays out, but it's effective. And we men are called to be the patriarchs of society and our families. Dan, thanks a lot, brother. You always add to the show. I can't thank you enough. God bless you. Keep the faith, and we'll see you. Talk to you real soon.
All right.
Up next, Gary Machuda, the big guy, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. And for those of you that like what you hear, then go ahead and like us. There's probably a lot of people, you know, that would need to listen to the show, especially men. I'm telling you, from Monday through Friday, we appeal to men. We're talking about Catholic male spirituality. This is not effeminate Catholicism on Jesus 911. So if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button and hit the bell to be notified and share this show with others. Hey, remember, as Catholics, we are called to be the watchmen of the church. We are called to protect Holy Mother Church. As it says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, we're commissioned to watch over the city because the enemy is trying to attack, and we fight back with faith, prayer, and good works. God bless you. Keep listening to Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, Gary Machuda. St. Padre Pio, I'll give him the last word. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.